right, Ryan, we finally achieved it. We've finally been able to get out there and do what we have said we would do for a very long time. The other night, mark it down. It's on my Twitter account, Chris Lemieux, at Adequate Host, 9:45 p.m. Pacific Time, 15th of August. I had Jack in the Box tacos, 2 for 99 cents, but these were part of a late night munchies meal. I've had them. They've been eaten.
Chris, the verdict.
Better than expected.
You had to have had some pretty low expectations set up by Jeremy Reisman.
Well, I went into it thinking that the beef would taste like the beef that I would get in Taco Bell, right? Just like crumbled, kind of gritty, kind of crumbled, barely holding together beef, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was my expectation. Instead, like, I get it, and it's like, it's beef, and it's not good beef, but it's like there's some moistness to it. It's not just completely dry sandpaper. It tastes like something.
And your feelings about the American slice of cheese?
Honestly, barely even noticed it. I mean, there wasn't much cheese in this thing to begin with. It tasted like nacho cheese, I guess, which is probably a damnation of nacho cheese itself. So, and then, I mean, the lettuce was lettuce. It's shitty lettuce from any fast food. But I was actually surprised by the sauce they put on it. It had a little kick to it.
For 99 cents, you could spend your money on a lot of other things that won't get you nearly the satisfaction at a drive-thru menu.
I just want to shout out because this was actually $6 I spent. They have this thing, late night munchies meal after 9 until 5 a.m. You get an entree, which is like, I wanted the spicy nacho chicken, which was like a giant fried chicken on sourdough bread with like jalapenos and nacho cheese. But they gave me a burger by accident. But you get that, halvesy fries, which is half regular fries, half curly, 2 tacos and a large drink, all for $6, which by L.A. standards is a really good deal.
I learned a lot about L.A. standards last night. Wednesday night, I went out with Alex Reno. Jeremy Reisman was out here.
That's right. Jeremy's out there for trivia night.
He was out here for trivia night, which we are Team Vindicators in honor of Rick and Morty.
Shout out.
We finished with 0 points because we wagered all our points in the last question and got it wrong. But it was a good time. But Jeremy Reisman was always surprised by each place we stopped. His bill was way cheaper than he was anticipating.
Yeah, yeah.
So I learned a little bit about the cost of living and the cost of food and beverage out west.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. By the way, welcome to the Pride of Detroit PODcast. No, this isn't the PODcast, is it? It's back, it's baby. Not. It's first bite. We said we weren't going to do this until the regular season, but here we are. And as you can tell, as we started by talking about Jack in the Box tacos, we are still continuing on our POD cast legacy, I want to say. And the fact also that we just don't have a Jets guest tonight.
And I mean, to be honest, would you be more intimidated by a Christian Hackenberg sized Jack in the Box taco or a Jack in the Box taco sized Christian Hackenberg?
The Christian Hackenberg sized Jack in the Box taco, because I would try to eat it all and I would that, fail.
That should go on the Jack in the Box late night munchies menu.
The mega taco, the hack taco,
the hack taco.
Hey, Jack in the Box, give us that sponsorship and come to Detroit. I think everyone should experience Jack in the Box at least once. I think Jeremy put it best. It is like the Taco Bell of burgers, in that their menu will have something on there you will want to try once and then never again.
Kind of like the Lions facing the Jets in this preseason.
Yeah, this is like a double chalupa quesarito with sriracha chicken.
Is it because when you unfold whatever that is, like, you just can't recognize it at all whatsoever, like the Jets roster? Because
yes, and it probably gives you the runs the next day.
Got it. Look, a lot of us here have spent so many years dealing with how tough it's been to be a Lions fan. How tough would it be to be a Jets fan right now? Like, would you rather be a Browns fan or a Jets fan?
I'd rather be a Browns fan because I can't imagine being a fan of any New York sports. I hate New York in all its existence. And to me, the Jets represent, like, much like the Knicks represent, an id of New York that these people think themselves as very proud, very arrogant, very like, we're the center of the world. And their sports exist to remind them, no, they are just as dumb and stupid as the rest of us. So I have no pity for the Jets in this. But I mean, and this is why I was kind of disappointed. We tried reaching out to the Jets blog to have people come on with us. They never responded to us. But this team is trying to tank, right? This team is put together to try to go 0-16 and probably draft Sam Darnold.
The interesting thing is, if you look up the New York Jets, an article will come up from the Washington Post that says it's titled, "It's going to be really hard for the Jets to tank this season." I don't think it's going to be that hard.
It'll be hard in the sense that it's the Jets, and they'll probably fuck up tanking either way and end up with 3 wins and like go second. But they're gonna find a way to lose, and they're gonna find a way to lose bad.
I think that we are all renowned experts on what it takes to not win any games in a regular season, considering.
Although to argue, I'm looking at their season schedule. So yeah. Besides the 2 games, the Bills, they also host the Jaguars, and they're on the road at Cleveland.
Cleveland isn't going to be an easy game.
Yeah. And they've got the Chargers too. Well, easy to lose.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But so I'm saying, like, you've got the Jags, the Browns, and the Chargers all out of your division. Like, there is a feasible way for the Jets to win any of those 3 games.
Oh, yeah. They could stumble themselves into a victory. And that's kind of like what I was saying. You know, being a part of a season where the Lions managed to win no games in a 16-game season, I'm not saying that that's impressive by any means, but it takes a level of badness to reach that plateau. So
it takes a lot of luck too, because there were a couple games where the Lions in 08, they were in the thick of it in a couple of these games, and they just had the worst breaks possible.
Yeah, they weren't all blowouts. And I think it's even hard for football is really a sport too, and we've talked about this in previous podcasts, where you really can't play half speed. Like, you can't tank like in basketball, where you can just sub out everybody and you can play like your D league roster and everything. Like, that just doesn't happen in football. Like, players are fighting too much for contracts. They're playing for their livelihood and for their bodies. So,
well, I think the Jets are trying to do the closest thing to playing with a D league squad, but like, yeah, all these guys realize what's going on. They're probably trying to be like, yeah, we need the money. So they're going to be fighting like hell. Like, so except for Matt Forte, who just got his money.
Right. Yeah. I completely forgot that Matt Forte is still in their backfield.
RIP.
Things have really changed. So how are we going to attack this, Chris?
So we're going to talk. I know we spent about 8 minutes here talking about Jack in the Box tacos and the New York Jets, but we're not going to focus a lot on them. I want to focus a lot more on the Lions. And there was some news here. We're going to get to Brandon Copeland in a second. But I just want to say, looking at this preseason schedule, this is something I've been wanting to say on the POD cast. Like, we're not going to know how good this Lions team is until very late in the preseason, are we? Like, more than past preseasons. Like, we got the dress. Sure. Third game in there, you've got your dress game against the Patriots. That's probably decent. But like, Colts, Jets, Bills, otherwise.
You're not getting tested by teams that have the kind of competition that you're trying to gauge yourself against. Those definitely are not the benchmarks that you're trying to set yourself up to surpass, or even to, you know,
have we ever had a preseason just against AFC teams too?
I don't think so. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Three teams from the AFC East as well.
Look, the preseason happens and then it like ceases to exist in my mind. I mean, it really does.
Just get rid of it.
Yeah. But I think there's a lot to be said about that though, Chris, is that the Lions really don't get a true test against, because this season is all about the Lions taking that next step, right? I mean, there's so many people talking about regression and, you know, they were 9-7. And the only reason they really ended up 9-7 is because Matthew Stafford brought them back in so many games.
Well, and look at the past few years. Every time they've made the playoffs, what's happened the next year? They've just crashed.
Sure. Yeah, just absolutely crashed. So, I mean, I don't know how much to make of it that they aren't maybe getting like a true test really until the Patriots game. I mean, it's a good thing that that's the dress rehearsal game too, because you can measure yourself up against literally the best team in football. But how much are you really going to be able to glean from this game against the Jets?
Yeah, and that's kind of the struggle here too. And that's I want to be more fair to the Jets. I'm really trying to be, but I mean, I've seen pieces written about this team en masse, and it's just like everything is just death and despair. Like what the fuck are we going to see out of these guys? We're going to see Ryan Fitzpatrick for half the game and see him try to squeeze what life.
The Bucks now.
Wait, that's right. Shit. I just saw him on TV throwing an interception. What am I doing?
No, they have another guy who looks a lot like Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it's Josh McCown.
Oh God.
And Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg. Those are their quarterbacks. I don't know their wide receivers, Chris. I do not know who Jalen Marshall is. I do not know who Robbie Anderson is.
I accidentally have up their 16 stats. So let me pull up their Jets death chart. Let's find out. You want to play? I should play a game here. I wish I had come more prepared. You want me to start reading you some names of the wide receivers from the Jets?
Go ahead. I just named the first two.
Which ones again?
Jalen Marshall.
Okay.
Robbie Anderson.
Okay, you've got the right side down. Want to hear who's on the depth chart on the left side? Quincy Enunwa,
who just got injured.
Yep. Who was behind him? Sharon Peak and Chad Hansen.
Chris, I don't know who any of these players are, and I don't know if that makes me a bad football fan, but let's put it this way. Any of the Lions wide receivers that get cut should definitely make the Jets 53-man roster, but they're trying to tank. So I don't know if they're going to go. Like, that's going to be so telling. After the teams make their cuts to get down to 53, like, which players are the Jets going to target? Because they could honestly find probably four or five starters.
I think it speaks too about I don't know, maybe it's our goggles on, our Honolulu Blue goggles on, but like how good we've had, like of all the other problems going around with the Lions, like how good we've had it with these receivers, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a luxury at this point.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got about 13 minutes in here. We can take a quick break. When we come back, we can talk about Brandon Copeland. We really need to. And I mean, we've kind of told we're doing a shitty job selling this particular game, but I think we need to say what we're really looking forward to from the Lions out of this game. Back here again on First Bite, brought to you by the PODcast, prideofdetroit.com. We never mentioned our other band here, and I apologize for that. You should know who, you already know who it is. Ryan _ POD, the rock god. I'm not going to play the drop. That's only for PODcast.
Let's make that an exclusive drop.
Yeah, we'll make that a very exclusive drop. I don't know if there was a fire truck that just went by in the background, so maybe it'll get picked up and you'll hear the beep beep, the honking of the horn. Maybe that's the drop. I don't know.
That might be the new drop. I did hear that. So
okay, then it got picked up. Great. Fantastic. Oh, man, I love this town. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Brandon Copeland before we get into the rest of the roster. So I know in the last POD cast, we talked about Kerry Hyder. The worst is there. Kerry is now on the IR, from what I understand. Yep, that's right. I'm not completely dead to understanding it. Brandon Copeland's not on the IR, but he just had surgery. So
Brandon Copeland did have surgery to repair an injury that he had to his pectoral muscle. And that's an injury that takes quite a bit of rehab and quite a bit of time to come back from. So
he was waived.
So he was released. He could always come back though. because when they do get – this is a different process than they did with Kerry Hyder. We actually learned a little something about the Kerry Hyder situation. Why he didn't have to go through waivers is because the Lions decided just to put him straight on IR, but that means that they can't have 90 players now during camp. They can have 89 because he counts towards one of those spots. Whereas with Copeland, they can waive him and they can bring him back as long as he clears through waivers, which most injured players do. And the Lions can put him on IR and he doesn't count towards their 90 count. So, technically their 89 count now.
I was going to say, I think he is an ERFA for another year or two. So,
yeah, Copeland, it's not nearly the type of blow that Kerry Hyder is, obviously, because I thought Kerry Hyder was going to be such an integral role in terms of rotating and playing, you know, three tech defensive tackle, playing defensive end. Like, even though Cornelius Washington was there and he might be the guy who's out there to start the games and I guess technically get the GS stat, you know, for games started, I think Kerry Hyder would play just as many snaps, if not more, than Cornelius Washington. So that was a huge blow. With Brandon Copeland, like, he is versatile. The Lions played him kind of all over the place. He really didn't have a position, but he was practicing with the ones. I mean, for linebackers. So, I mean, that in and of itself is a big blow for a linebacking corps that is better than last year, but I mean, just marginally.
Well, I think Copeland hurts in the sense that it hurts as the second blow after hearing that Hyder is hurt, right? Because I know he was taking snaps with the ones for linebackers, but I think they would have eased him into that defensive end role eventually because he has that versatility. And I don't think he'd start. I think you try some other guys down the depth chart before you start him at defensive end, but it hurts because it just piled up on top of everything else, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, so that is a part of it as well. And I think an even bigger part to consider too is how well he played on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we know how much Bob Quinn values that, and we talk about how much Bob Quinn likes versatility, and you know, he could play down on defensive end and he could play up as a linebacker, but you know, the special teams thing is a big blow too. So like you said, you know, losing Hyder was obviously probably has a bigger impact, but losing Copeland on top of that, it's just like, when are the hits going to, you know, stop coming in? So let's just pray for no more injuries.
Yeah, I think that's probably the only thing we can really ask for out of this preseason game, right? Yeah. Like, maybe we see a little more of Stafford because, I mean, we've seen a grand total of 3 throws out of him now. And I would like a 2 drives out of Stafford, maybe. I don't know.
Well, what's interesting in this ESPN game tonight, Jacksonville versus Tampa Bay, is the starters played the whole first half.
Right.
I'm not sure if Stafford's going to play nearly that much, but
well, I mean, Winston's pretty young. So, I mean, that kind of makes sense. And Blake Bortles isn't exactly a guy who can be like, yeah, take the preseason game off, Blake.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. So, I mean, should we talk a little bit about the guys that the Lions signed to replace them?
Let's talk about them. Let's talk about them a little bit.
Yeah, so the Lions, they made some moves with the injuries. Since last time we talked, Ryan Spadola, they reached an injury settlement with him, and he got waived. Mike James, the running back, he was put on IR with a concussion. So they've had some players go down. I know the Lions worked out some running backs the other week. They brought in David Cobb. David Cobb went to go, I think, try out for the Atlanta Falcons too the other day. So his name has been floated around. The Lions might look into getting a running back, but they did sign lineman Connor Bozick. He was with the team back in the spring. He plays offensive line. That kind of replaces Matthew Rotheram. Can never remember how to.
We need to play a game on PODcast because I do not think these are real people from our roster.
Tight end Andrew Price, Jeremy, not a real person. Jeremy was at training camp, is it training camp or is it just practice at this point? I don't know where one ends and where the other begins.
Yeah, like I'm just so conditioned to call it all training camp because it's training. So like,
yeah, and there's
I'm not a stickler for this terminology. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. That's why I appreciate you, Chris. So.
Yeah, it's whatever.
He made note that the tight ends were looking pretty thin at practice. So I'm assuming they brought in this Andrew Price guy, who Chris may or may not think is a real person.
He's absolutely a pseudonym for someone under the witness protection program.
So he is going to be their witness protection camp body. And they brought in the biggest name seems to be this, I believe it's Giorgio Newberry.
Get it out. I'm usually the one who's not pronouncing things right.
I know. I'm taking on the brunt of this. So now I'm realizing why you're so adequate.
Mm-hmm.
So Newberry is a player who kind of brings some intrigue just because he played in the ACC. He played for Florida State and the Seminoles. 2016 draft comes and goes. He's 6'5", 284. Jeremy said that he's huge in person. Like, he's clearly, like, the biggest guy in the defensive line. And he played a lot of defensive tackle at Florida State, but they'll bring him in here to play some more defensive ends. So does he make the team? I'm not really sure. He doesn't seem like a very quick guy. And we have some other guys that are playing really well, too, like, you know, Jeremiah Valawaga, Alex Barrett.
Yeah, Valawaga's an amazing couple of months here. Yeah,
yeah. Even Pat O'Connor, our good boy from Eastern Michigan, had a mm-hmm. really good game against the Colts. And it kind of comes back to that thing that we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, Chris, is when you mentioned, you know, the Lions' quality of opponent that they're playing. A lot of people are rightfully pumping the brakes, I guess, a little bit on the performance of those guys against the Colts, but they're not going to get that much of a better look against the Jets offensive line. So like, well, I was going to say, my question to you is like, at what point do you stop taking things with a grain of salt? And like, you're just like, hey, they're playing NFL teams and they're playing against NFL level competition. So like, do we give more benefit of the doubt? Like if they have a second good game, this defensive line unit, like do they have enough?
I will give you that answer. It starts next week.
Okay.
It's not going to start here. And okay. It's definitely like, we just tried going through some of the names I think will be on the ones for the Jets. Can you imagine what it's going to be like looking down the depth chart for a 90-man depth chart for this hell of a team?
Yeah, it's, I want to agree with you, but at the same time, like, I just want to be excited about some of these guys and want to hope that they have a chance of making the team.
I absolutely do too, because that is the only thing preseason is good for, is the feel good stories of these guys who are just fighting like hell to make the dream happen, because the NFL's system of contracts and how much it pays players is just so fucked up and so stupid and so exploitative. It's like the only thing you really can do without losing your mind when you cover the team like we do is kind of rooting for these guys that they will get the payout at the end of the day. Right. And that's why shit like what happens to Brandon Copeland and Kerry Hyder, it hurts so much to read about. It hurts me so much to read about, because I mean, we've been following along with Kerry Hyder. Like before he was on the team, he was like, New Orleans had him on a goddamn practice squad. He was barely making above four figures probably for a month.
Well, do you remember during the preseason last year, the game against Cincinnati when Kerry Hyder had that illegal hit and got fined?
Yeah.
There was the potential, unless Kerry Hyder has that final game against the Bills when he had, I think it was either two or three sacks. If that game doesn't happen, he was fined $18,000 for that hit in the Cincinnati game in the preseason last year. It would have cost him money to try out for the Lions last summer.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, your heart goes out to those kind of guys. So,
but I mean, it goes out to a lot of these guys as we talk in the preseason. And I think the only thing is that my bleeding heart can't take that, you know, not all of them are going to make it.
Right.
And yeah, that's a problem. But it's like, I mean, for evaluating the team, I don't know, man. Like, if I replace the Jets with the CFL team, like, would you guys think it's more or less legitimate?
It depends. But, like, is Dwayne like Rock Johnson playing for the Toronto Argonauts or no?
Is he? I thought he was with Montreal. Is he with the Argos now?
I don't. The Rock played for some CFL team. Are we talking about too much?
Well, the CFL. I'm not. Oh crap! I'm in the weeds now. But I was just going to say the CFL used to have teams in the United States, but that's neither here nor there.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson played for the Calgary Stampeders.
Stamps. All right, that's a legit team. Let's get back to the NFL, though. I mean, this is a great first bite for 2017. We're just struggling to tell you why you should care. I'm trying to be honest with you people out here. I mean, you want to watch your Lions, but I just can't get excited about playing this sad sack of a New York Jets football team.
Well, let's parse through some of this stuff, Chris. Let's see if we can come up with things that we can watch for and that we can take away.
Sure, absolutely. And you know what? I've got one right here. Anthony Zettel.
All right, great.
Step up, so, Anthony. Like, step up, Anthony. You, Kerry Hyder's out. We need someone on that. We need. I'm using the we. God, what a goddamn idiot I am. The Lions need someone on that end. Help us out here, man. Tackle it like a tree.
I mean, he's a guy who you figure is going to play with the ones a lot. So if anybody's going to at least get like a decent look, I'm sure the Lions coaching staff is going to rotate a lot of these guys that had good weeks last week against the twos and threes of the Colts. They're going to rotate them in and hopefully get them against some of the first team offensive linemen for the Jets, whatever that's worth. But yeah, Anthony Zettel's a guy that you want to see definitely step up in this game. I mean, if he can,
Anthony's also probably the one who's at most risk of getting exposed either later in the preseason or when the regular season begins too, though. So
yeah, he's a guy who I would say probably has the most pressure on him going into this game in terms of anybody on the defense for sure. I mean, would you agree? Like, he has the most to lose, I think, with how well the guys behind him are playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I got gassed up because I saw a good game out of Zettel, and I really like Zettel. And I know how precarious this second edge rushing position is. And, you know, yeah, as you say, like, other guys are fighting for those contracts. They may not be great. And I don't think any of these guys are going to represent a good pass rush attack come the regular season when the Lions take the field against the Cardinals in September. But it's something. It's something, I guess. You have to at least fill that slot out on your depth chart, at least until like the NFL evolves and becomes like 7-on-7, every man is eligible to receive or something. But like, until then, you need to fill that edge rusher position.
That's right. Let's flip to the other side of the ball, because Jeremy made a really interesting note in his time in Allen Park on Wednesday. Kenny Galladay was practicing with the ones.
Yeah. That hype train ain't got no goddamn brakes. It's going to plow right through the station, take out a carriage that's on the road, kill a cow.
The conductor is screaming for somebody to stop shoveling coal.
The conductor is on fire.
The conductor is aflame. But I mean, Jeremy said he didn't, he doesn't remember him lining up on in terms of like receiver, if he was playing more like X or Z receiver. But with that being said, just him playing with the ones moved Tate into the slot, which I think is a much more natural position for him where he can where they can better utilize a lot of his talents. Chris, this isn't a indictment of you or your football knowledge, which is both good and adequate at the same time. But I think today the Lions beat mentioned like, oh, like back to TJ Jones practicing with the ones again, not Kenny Galladay. So it's something where they at least took a look. So, I mean, that's a step in a different direction where I think you're probably going to see that at some point in the Jets game, right? Kenny Galladay with the ones, maybe some Tate in the slot. So I think that that's something that you could really take away watching this game on Saturday, is that look at how the offense is lining up, and the wide receiver battle is just something that's going to be ongoing throughout camp. Like, that's something that I think is a lot more, you can take a lot more away from the wide receiver play than you can defensive line play, I think.
Yeah, like, I think that's right. And again, it's probably because there's just so many guys, much like on defensive end, fighting for these spots at wide receiver. Although it kind of feels like we're kind of getting settled in. Like, it would take a colossal fuck up from Kenny Galladay to lose at this point, in my mind.
Sure, yeah. Kenny Galladay, obviously a shoe-in.
Yeah, but I mean,
But you wonder about the fate of guys like TJ Jones and Jared Everdarius and Keyshawn Martin.
Beautiful Jace Billingsley.
I mean, did anybody really step out and like prove themselves as like the return guy in game one? I don't think so.
That spot's still open. Kick. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, there are like niche positions to fill out still, I feel like, on this roster. But they're still important, and those still guys we'll fall in love with. Okay, we're coming up on 30 minutes or so, I think. So, like, what else do we have? What other final notes do you have for this game?
I'm going to try to imagine what the Jets would look like with Sam Darnold on their team.
You know I'm going to USC right now. Please don't do this to me.
I'm sorry. Do I apologize? I don't know if I apologize.
This would be like what's the big guy from Michigan State that you fell in love with?
Michigan State that I fell in love with.
You got to have one Sparty.
I mean, you fell in love with Jeremy Langford.
No, I just fucking put him on the wrong spot of my fucking top 10 running backs list of 2016 and it hasn't fucking gone away.
I totally get it, though. Like, I mean, there are guys I fell in love with Kareem Hunt, and when he was prime for the taking and the Lions chose to trade out of that pick, they didn't get Kareem Hunt, but they ended up with Kenny Golladay. And when we were in our hotel room in Philly, we were like, Kenny Golladay? Haven't heard about this guy ever. And look at the difference a couple months
ago. Yeah, geez. Yeah. And a flaming train with people on fire. I think that's exactly where we're going to leave it. And yeah, next time we have First Bite, check us out on iTunes, check us out on Stitcher. Hopefully by next First Bite, we're going to find some way to airdrop some Jack in the Box tacos to Ryan.
And we're going to have somebody on from the other team next week.
Well, next week is going to be the Jaguars. I mean, sorry, not the Jaguars, it's the Patriots.
The Bizarro Jaguars, the Patriots.
I don't know why I thought the Jaguars were week three. I really don't. I just realized that we don't even play them this year. So like, where did I come up with whatever? Anyway, goodbye. Goodbye, folks. We'll be back next week. More First Bite POD cast coming your way after the weekend. It's going to be probably a Monday release. So keep up with us. PrideToDetroit.com. Thank y'all. You guys are awesome. See you star side.
The train is ablaze.